We will read from God's holy word, Psalm 139. The title of tonight's message is Search Me, O God, and Know Me. I will read Psalm 139. If you have a Pew Bible, it's on page 662. This is the word of God. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How fast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God, of men of blood, depart from me. They speak against me with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As far the reading of God's holy word. Beloved, at the beginning of this year, as the evening service, I want to reflect on God's care and his nearness in the past year, and at the same time, look at the future so that we may delve confidence in God from Psalm 139. Now, in the Psalms, we discover the intimate relationship between God and his people. Especially in the Psalms of David, we find when David sings to the Lord or Yahweh, the covenant name. But in this Psalm, he takes us on a journey. And he takes us on a journey through his understanding and his understanding of God, how God cares for him. And in this case, because it is God's word, we understand that the way that David sees God is in fact the reality of God's presence with us. And so tonight I want to look at Psalm 139 as we will go through this journey. But before I describe the journey, I want to show you a beautiful thing of how this journey comes full circle. If you look at your Bibles, in the first verse, it says these words, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. David states a fact. Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. And when we come to the very end, in verse 23, this is one sentence really, but in verse 23 it says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. That's a difference. Do you see the difference? Verse 1, it says, You have searched me and you have known me. And then he comes all the way through his journey. And at the end, he prays to God, Search me and know me. David's heart, if it were, he states the fact, but then when he thinks upon this reality of God searching and knowing him, it becomes the cry of his heart, that God searches him and knows him completely. So that's where our journey begins and ends. Now this evening, as I said, we will follow the journey, and if you're a graphic listener, I will picture it for you as best as I can. So if we would say the main theme is the Lord searches and knows me, we start in our first destination with that he knows all my actions, words, and thoughts. So that's the first destination, verses 1 to 6. Then we come to the second destination, he knows me in every place. That's verses 7 to 12. Then we come to the third generation, first destination, he knew me before I was born. And then we come to the fourth destination, his thoughts of me are countless. So we get four destinations. He knows all my actions, words, and thoughts. He knows me in every place. He knew me before I was born, and his thoughts are countless towards me. Now before we go from there to the back to the beginning, David can't help himself but burst out in a prayer before God. So we'll join through the journey, and then we'll join him in this prayer before we come back to the beginning. Now let us look. And if you have your Bibles with you, stay close to the Scripture, because I think that as I explain the Scriptures, when you see it for yourself, you see much more of the riches of the details in the text itself. David prays to God, and he says this, O Lord, you have searched me, and you have known me. Now what is this searching and knowing that David speaks about? How is God searching? How has God searched David? And how does God know David? Now, when we search something, what do? We carefully inspect, right? We go around the house to find an item that we might have lost. And we carefully look in places where it might be. In other words, we exert much energy to find it, and we'll look very carefully to see if we can find a glimpse of what we're looking for, perhaps a color or a shadow or some kind of the outwards of the material that we're looking for. We carefully scan with our eyes around the room. But God is all-knowing. He sees all things. God doesn't need to go searching around a room to find something. He knows where every item is that you have ever lost at any point of the day. His knowledge is infinite. He sees all things and he knows things at the same time. This is what David says in verse 12. Even in the darkness, God does not need a light. He sees all things. What David is saying is this. God is very interested in me. He looks at my life with great care. That care that I have when I seek something precious, when I'm searching through it. That's the same way that God looks upon my life. And beloved, that's the same way that God looks upon your life as he searches you and knows you and looks at you with great interest, exerting, if you will, energy to see you and to walk with you. And then he says, God has not only searched me, but he has known me. Now, the word for know is a very beautiful word. It's not just simply a head kind of head knowledge that we know things that we've learned in school. But this knowing that David uses is really the knowing of an intimate, true knowledge. The knowledge of a husband and a wife. A very careful knowing, a very intimate knowing. Beloved, the Lord your God knows you with that kind of a knowing. He knows you intimately. He sees you at all times. He has searched you, and he knows you. David describes God's comprehensive knowledge of himself. When he sits down, God knows it. When he stands up, God knows it. The path that he walks and the place where he sleeps, God knows it all. He sees it all. He knows whatever place you've ever set in your life. He knows it and remembers it. Even if we have long forgotten it. God's knowledge of you, my dearly beloved, is that he knows you very well. And he has searched your life. David was often in danger. Right? You remember the story of David. He was chasing around a mountain, being chased by Saul, having to run from his life. Every morning he could not wake up, for he might have been killed. And then when he became a king of those days would be a man who would always be in danger. What if one person in your kingdom would betray you and want to take your throne? You could be killed any day. And David says, God, I'm alive because you know me. You search me. Now, my dear friends, how often have you been in a car and how often you could have died? But the Lord has been there and guided and protected you every single time. And he knows you. And he searches you. And so he comes to these words in verse 5 and 6. You hem me in. You enclose me. You're all around me. And he's that with me and he's that with you. Right? Do you see the language that David is using? It's like you're like a wall around me. You're so close to me. You guide me. You see every part of me. You know me perfectly. Behind and before. And lay your hand upon me. It's even closer, isn't it? He doesn't just see you. He doesn't just know you, dear beloved. His hands is upon you. How close can we be? But when you put a hand upon somebody, and here is the Lord God saying that his hand is always upon you. Always. And so what does David say? Such knowledge is too wonderful me. It is high. I cannot attain it. How much have you realized this week that the hand of the Lord was continuously with you and guiding you and leading you? That he was actually the one who caused your heart to beat? It is high. I cannot comprehend this. I cannot fully grasp this great knowledge that God has of you. David is overwhelmed by the incredible reality that God knows all things about him, all his words, all his thoughts, all his actions. He knows it all. And so we come to our second destination. Verse 7 to 12, he knows me in every place. David realizes that God does not only know him perfectly, but there is no way escape from God's knowledge. You see, the words that David uses is there are times where he wants to escape from God. But God is there. God is not only all-knowing, he is all-present. Everywhere present. He knows all things in every place, at every time. Beloved, he knows all of you in all your circumstances. You would have forgotten probably about 99.5% of all your experiences of the last year. He remembers them. And he was there. He is an eyewitness of every tear that you've shed, of every joy, every smile upon your face, of every little moving of the muscle in your cheeks. For whatever purpose, he was there and he's been a witness of it, and he knows it because he was there present with you. And in the same way, and this thought goes beyond us, he is present at this very moment here with us. And David realizes there is no escape from this knowledge. However far he goes, God is right there by his side. If you look at your Bibles in verse 7, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? When David wants to flee from God's presence, he finds there is no place because God is everywhere present. We may have sinned against God and are afraid like Adam and Eve and want to hide somewhere in the Garden of Eden. Right behind a bush. But God sees it all. When he said, Adam, where art thou? O man, where art thou? He knew where he was. Because he knows all things and he's everywhere present. And what a comfort is that. When we bring our sins before the Lord, he's not going to be surprised. Did you sin like that? I need to reconsider my offering of Christ on your behalf. No, my friend. He knew the sin before you actually committed it. And he sent his Son on your behalf. That is a glorious truth. Now, this is our question. Why does David say spirit and presence? Right? Did you see that in the text? Where shall I go from your spirit? Why doesn't he say, where shall I go from you? He says specifically spirit. Well, the answer is this. God is spirit. And is therefore not limited to any place or to any way that we are limited. Think about this. He is everywhere present with the same intensity. He is present with us here. And he is present in Korea and China and Africa. He is present with everyone at the same time because he's not limited to a body like we are limited to a body. We are, if you will, limited by our physical flesh. We cannot be everywhere at the same time, but God is not like us. He is unlimited. His spirit is everywhere in the same way. His eyes are not like our eyes that need to look in a certain way, that need to focus on a certain thing, but his eyes are spiritual eyes. He sees all things at the same place, at the same time, and perfectly. He does not have physical ears that can be drowned out by noise or that has a limit to how many people can talk to him in prayer at the same time. His ears are spiritual. He can hear every prayer at the same time. His hands are not like our hands. They are not limited like our hands. His hands are spiritual hands. He can lead, he can touch, he can move whatever he like at any place, at any time, whenever he wants. So David says, where shall I flee from your spirit? Because God is spirit. God, yes, is invisible to our eyes. But that means that he can do whatever he like at any time, at any place. My dear friends, God was there with your great, great, great grandparents, and he still knows every thought of their lives. It's still, his eyes can see all these things that go beyond us, that go far above our own understanding. And so he comes to this exaltation in verse 11 and 12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the sun, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. That's what the King James says. In other words, we need light, right? If somebody would turn all the lights off in this building and would cover all the windows, we would probably be in panic. We'd say, what's going on? Well, we got to find an exit. Our eyes have become absolutely useless, right? Our perfectly sound eyes cannot see without light. But God's eyes do not need light. God sees us perfectly all the time. As a matter of fact, his eyes can see our very heart. He can see the thoughts, the pains in our very heart at this very moment. His eyes are not limited to the things on the outward. He can see through all things. Now, 2018, your pains, he saw. And if you think that God is some God who doesn't feel with his people, you're greatly mistaken. Because you see the life of Jesus Christ and you see how he is moved with tears at times. If our heart can be sensitive, and that's a beautiful thing, how much more the heart of God? So my dear friends, if your heart is broken over a situation, know that the heart of God throbs in pain with you. Oh, he's not weak. But he loves his people. And he goes through them, through the hardships with them. And he knows them and he sees them. Oh, don't make God so great that he doesn't need to have a heart who feels. Oh, don't make God so holy and so far away that you cannot see and understand him. Yes, he is beyond our comprehension. Yes, I'm using human language like eyes and hands. And I know that's a human way for us to understand, but that's how the Word of God brings it to us. But my dear friend, it is greater. It's not the opposite. It's greater. And so David realizes that wherever he may be, either in the bright sun of noonday or in the blackness of the night, God sees him perfectly. And may I may I take a spiritual application from this. No matter if you're in the heights of your spiritual life and you feel that God is right next to you and you're singing praises to Him, when you wake up and in the midst of the night you stand up and you rise up and you lift up your arms to the Lord and pray to Him because you're so filled with the Spirit of God and His joy. Or maybe you're at the very other side, but you feel like you're groping in the dark and trying to see, oh Lord, where are you now? My dear friend, God is just as near in both times. He is right there by your side and He speaks to you and He knows you and every prayer that you see, even though you hear no answer and even though your heart may still be restless like before, He has heard your very prayer. And that is a fact. And so we come to our third destination. He knew me before I was born. God knew David before David knew anything at all. Isn't that a wonderful truth? God wasn't born with us and He will not die with us. God was born. God was never born. We are born. But God made us and He formed us in the womb. Verse 15 and 16 says this, "My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." David realizes that every member of his body had planned and been made by God. Now, children, let me address a word to you. And I think this is for all of us. Look at your hands. If you look at your hands, do you see the little lines crafted in there? You see the little lines that go over your hands. God knows every line of your body. Do you see, if you look closely to your finger, you see the little shapes, the little round circles in your fingers. Do you see, if you look very closely, do you see as far as you can see with your natural eye? It's the handiwork of God, His craftsmanship. God has carved every line and the tops of every finger of every human being in the world. And He knows every little dot. And even if we would put our finger under a microscope and we would see much more details, He has crafted it all. And it is, and in your mother's womb, He has shaped you and formed you. He has given you eyes. He has given you a nose. He has given you a mouth. He has given you taste. He has given you hearing. He has given you a heart. He has given you everything that you are, that person that you see in the mirror, He has crafted everything according to His desire. That's amazing. You think you know yourself, but you've never seen what your bones look like. You've never seen what your veins look like. You've really never seen what your heart looks like. The only thing that you've seen is, I can feel it beat. But God knows it altogether. He knows every bone in our body because He made it. And David is looking at it and he's amazed. He's astonished, and we should be astonished. God knows every part of you. Now, you may be a woman who's either satisfied or not satisfied with the way you look. My dear sister, God made you that way because He thought that was perfect and beautiful in His sight. That's beautiful, isn't it? And so, my dear friends, God knows you perfectly. He knows all your actions in the past year. He was right there with you through all your hardships, through the ups and through the downs. He knows all that will happen in the coming year. He knows it all. We think, well, we hope this will happen, or we hope this will not happen. He knows it all. He sees it all. And He says through His Word, I will be with you through it all. He knows your sorrows and your pains. He knows the cares that you have for your children or your grandchildren. He knows the cares that you have in your marriage or in your children's marriage. He knows the cares that you have about the church or about the world or about this city or about the future or about anything. He knows it all. And he says, come, bring those to me, for I'm with you through it all. He knows your fears, my dear sister, my dear brother. He knows it all. God has countless thoughts of you. That's our next destination. This is really, truly an astonishing reality. Look at this in verse 17 to 18. If I had not read this in the Word of God, I don't think I would ever dare to say these words, because this is beyond our imagination. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Do you see what David is saying? You. God said, David says, God has countless thoughts like the sand. Now you don't want to go out and try to count every grain of sand. But David says, there is no limit to the thoughts that God has towards me. And the Word of God, by His inspiration, He has brought that to us this evening. So that we read that this evening, and are reminded that God, there is no limit to the thoughts that God has towards His people. And so, God is not simply thinks about you because He has to. He is not some kind of machine that just needs to keep the world going. He is God Himself, the one who created hearts, the one who created love, the one who created the world. And this very God cares and thinks about you because He cares and loves you. The reason why He cares and He has all these thoughts about His people, because He loves His people. Do you see that? Everything that David has been saying in this psalm, is there some kind of spirit of saying, well, you're just going to have to think about me? No, 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 my dear friend. David is speaking to God and he's being amazed by the personal Yahweh. Right? That's the word that he's using in Lord. Yahweh, the covenant God, the I am who I am. That God comes to David and inspires him to write this so that we might tonight read this word and be amazed and understand that he has countless thoughts about you. And so David begins to treasure God's thoughts towards him. And David is unable to count God's thoughts, let alone comprehend them all. And he says, if they would all be lining up, I could never be able to count them. What about comprehending them? Then each thought takes an endless eternity to fully understand the greatness of God behind every thought. So here we have infinite multiplied by infinite. God's treasure house towards His people, every individual person. And so David cries out, oh God, how great is the sum of them. It's like a mighty ocean of thoughts that David receives. And suddenly he realizes that God is deeply involved in his life, that he sees all things, that he is a God who is near to his people. And what a comfort is that to us. Oh, what a comfort is it when a loved one takes us by the hand, isn't it? When he puts his arm around our shoulders and says, I was thinking about you yesterday. I was walking around somewhere and I was thinking about you. But my dear friend, here is God having countless thoughts about you. Not I was thinking about you yesterday, which really implies that the rest of the week they may not have been thinking about you. But what the Word of God says is that God has a countless sum of thoughts towards His people. You come to Him in prayer. There's an endless amount of thoughts that He has about you. Because He loves his people. And so David realizes, although that he's been through many dangers, when he awakes, God will still be there with him. If somebody that cares about me so much that there's an infinite amount of thoughts, I know that he will be with me, whether in life or in death. And so David comes at the end of his fourth destination to a crescendo. Something has happened in David's heart. And he begins to pray, and he begins to realize the awesome reality of God's ever presence. He must pray to God. He sees God's nearness, so he must pray. And something has happened to David. And I know the language is very strong that David prays. But it's really, I want you to understand it. This is the words of a man who has changed, who has turned to side with God. He's describing God as a king. And he says, I am part of your kingdom. I am a servant of you. So all the enemies to God are mine enemies. This is not David's personal hatred towards individuals. This is David siding with God and saying, everyone who is against God, I am against evil. And so he says, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O man of blood, depart from me. And you think, well, David is going to pray all kinds of benefits for himself. He's going to take this knowledge that God cares about him and he's going to take it upon himself. But no. David's heart is changed. It's different. Because you see, when you see that God cares that much about you, you realize that you really don't have to care about yourself anymore. But you can care about the things of God. Now hear these words. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. You see, David loved God because God first loved David. And if you understand more of the love of God, and you see more of his countless thoughts towards you, your heart is transformed. Because you realize, if God Almighty cares about me, oh God, enlist me to do anything you desire. If he loves me, I don't need to love myself. I don't need to care about myself. I care about your things, God. And so he says, David loves God. And so David speaks as a soldier who serves his king with complete loyalty. You see, it's the language of loyalty. David's heart is won by God. And now he desires God's name to be honored. Now look carefully at these words. They speak against thee wickedly. And thine enemies take thine name in vain. You see David's words? He's not praying for himself. He's really praying for God. I think this is a natural response of a heart of worship. When we see that God has this countless sum of thoughts, if the flesh takes that, the unregenerate heart takes that, it says, give me more than God. But if a heart that has been renewed by the Spirit of God sees that, it says, oh God, if you care about me, oh Lord, make me serve. Let me do something. I want to put at least some thoughts of me towards you. Because I am loved by you. Something wonderful has happened to David. He has become so satisfied with God's care for him that he's no longer concerned with himself, but with God. And I'm talking about the purpose of his life. I'm not talking about whether he wants to care about the little things in his life, because of course he has to do the things in his life. But do you see the general purpose of his life? It's transformed. It's God-word. A life towards God. David's prayer is concerned with God's name and God's glory and God's honor. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. And David has come to the point that he realizes, I don't need to fight for myself. I don't need to be concerned about myself at first, because God is concerned about me. When I have cares in my life, I bring them to God because I know He has this countless ocean of thoughts towards me. I bring my cares to Him. And this has given him such freedom that he can truly care for God's matters. And isn't this what we see in the life of David, but also in the life of the Apostle Paul? He wasn't going around caring about his own life. He's the man who said a soldier that is enlisted has no cares for the things that are in his own life because he's enlisted to God's service. What has happened? He hasn't gone out of his mind in some way that he says, well, I'm not going to eat anymore because I don't need to care about that. Of course he is eating. But his life is transformed. His heart is transformed. Now he says, Lord, make me serve you. Make me know you. Make me to walk, spend my life for you. Because I know the one who has called me. And he will keep that which I have entrusted to him. And beloved church, this is my prayer for you. That as you reflect on 2018 or look forward to 2019, that you realize that God has been faithful to you. That he has seen you and know you. And that he will be faithful to you in 2019. That you can work and love him. And that his thoughts is like a countless ocean towards you, where every drop is an infinite thought. Oh, my dear friends, there is one who cares for you. And his name is Yahweh, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And so we come to the end of this journey. David returns to the beginning, that something has changed. God's searching and knowing has changed from being a fact to being David's deepest desires. God's will has become David's will. And so David sets the door of his heart wide open and he prays to God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You see, David has come to God at the beginning. He says, you've searched me and you know me. And he has said, I can't go anywhere from you. You're always with me. Wherever I run, I can't run from you. Oh, but God, you made me in my mother's womb. Oh God, you have countless thoughts about me. Oh God, you really do care about me. Lord, if that is true, and it is, then search me and know my heart. Oh dear saints, if you have seen anything of Psalm 139 tonight, oh, let your heart say the same thing. Oh God, search me and know my heart. If there's anything in my heart, anything at all, take it away. You see it all the time. You perfectly see my heart. Take anything away that is grievous in your sight. For you know it. David wants to be absolutely clean. And David desires that God knows his heart, every corner, every shadow, so that he might be perfect in God's sight. David wants God to lead him and take him by the hand and lead him into the eternal way, the everlasting way, the way of God. In effect, David says, lead me in the way that leads to you. Guide me on the path of righteousness. My sin is my greatest enemy. Take it away from me. Oh Lord, slay the sin of my heart, so that I might be free, so that there is never a disturbance in your sight when you search and know me. Isn't that a beautiful desire? What a resolution of 2019. Oh Lord, search me and know my heart. If there be any way that is grievous within my heart, take it away from us. Oh Lord, if there is anything grievous in our church, take it away from us. Cleanse us. Make us multiply by your grace. Make us grow in the love of God, in the fellowship of the saints. If my heart is wrong towards any of my brothers or sisters, if the way that I treat my brothers or sisters is anything wrong with me, if there's anything grievous in your sight, take it away from my heart. Do not no longer let my heart be grievous towards your spirit and towards my brothers and sisters. Beloved, God has seen you this past year as He sees all things. He knows all things. There's no hiding from His presence. And still, He has brought you under His word. That's astonishing. I don't think that we have any murderers in the house, but all we have sinned in many ways. God knew it all. He knows it all. And He forgives it all. So my dear friends, if we have such a God, then we can truly trust Him and walk with Him and love Him. Beloved, God will be with you in the coming year. He will see all things and He knows things already. There's no hiding from His presence, but oh, let your thoughts be now continuously towards Him. Let Him fill your house. Let Him fill your family. Let it fill your conversation. Let all of it be filled with Him, with thoughts towards Him. And I'm not speaking of continuously just saying His name, but to live a life that has His eyes consciously fixed upon the Lord of glory. To have your morning, afternoon, evening, night be filled with thoughts of Him. For He cares for you, my dear friends. So let your prayers be multiplied in this year. Oh, may God make Seven Reformed a church that is filled with the name of Jesus Christ. That we might be a people who have thoughts of Him. As a great gathering, that we have countless thoughts towards Him. Let us pray. Oh, dear Father, how glorious are your words. Oh, Father, the reality that you see us at all times and that you know us at this very moment in our very thoughts, at the one hand, it's daunting. It makes us afraid. And at the same time, if we see your gracious love, it gives us great confidence in your presence. Oh, dear God, would you inspire our thoughts that we might grow closer to you. Oh, Father, that we might know you better. Oh, Father, I pray that Psalm 139 would be the song of our hearts, of our lives, of our church. Father, we pray that in the name of your Son, our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.